Good afternoon. This is KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in. Alaska's Division of Forestry released its plan for selling timber in Southeast Alaska for the next 5 years. The plan seeks to turn some old growth stands into areas that can be harvested repeatedly in the decades to come. The state will seek public input, but as Coast Alaska's Angela Denning reports, an environmental group in the region is frustrated with the public process.
The state has identified about 4,000 acres of timber that they could potentially sell in the southern southeast region. Most of it is old growth or stands of trees that have never been logged. The state's constitution mandates that the state develop its natural resources on public lands.
We have a tradition of selling timber in this part of the world.
Greg Staunton is the area forester for the state's Division of Forestry.
There's an industry that exists. It's a lot smaller than it has been in the past, but there's a demand for our timber. And we view it from the perspective that it enables commerce to occur.
Most of the proposed sales would be clear-cut. The plan states, quote, "The division believes clear-cutting is a proven and effective silviculture prescription, providing both adequate natural regeneration of harvested areas and an economically practical harvest method," end quote. One proposed sale is 345 acres of old growth from Ketchikan's island, Revillagigedo Island. The location is George Inlet East, about 7 miles east of Ketchikan. Other potential sales include over 1,200 acres of mostly old growth on Petersburg's Minkoff Island in three separate areas. Ideally, the state would like to turn these old growth stands into sustainable young growth that could be harvested every 100 years or so. Staunton says sawmills of different sizes have shown interest in sales in the region. He says there is a public process in place, and they expect to hear feedback on the planned sales from nearby communities.
People recreate, live proximate to some of these areas we're working on. So understanding their perspective is part of what we're doing here.
The state process is so frustrating.
Larry Edwards is with the Alaska Rainforest Defenders based in Sitka.
It's set up so that the public can really have zero influence on what Division of Forestry does. The local communities will have an opportunity to comment on these, but all I got to say is lots of luck.
Edwards says the state has a proven record of not listening to the public. He cites Whale Pass on Prince of Wales Island as an example. The state decided to sell nearly 300 acres of old growth right behind the town, even though most residents opposed it. Edwards says the state's timber sales don't consider enough factors. He says they don't look at the cumulative impacts of losing the older trees in Southeast Alaska, which take hundreds of years to return to old growth status. He says removing old growth changes the character of the land.
No one's looking at how those lands should be managed in the long term. And the impacts to terrestrial wildlife or fish aren't being looked at in a comprehensive way by the state when it's doing these plans.
Environmental groups like Edwards also take issue with the state's plan because over half of the land is not designated for harvesting timber. Some sales are on land that's classified as general use. That designation means the land has the potential for other multiple use activities like recreation.
These are lands that haven't been classified yet for any of those uses. And they're treating them just like any other lands in the Southeast State Forest, which I don't think is legit.
Staunton says the state does listen to residents and communities about their proposed timber sales. He says preparing for and selling the timber sales is a years-long process, and right now, they're just starting.
Our intent is to start looking at these areas in a more focused sense, and that we are interested in information on those sites we've identified.
Edwards says his group will likely comment on the state's Southeast timber sale plan, but adds that he doesn't think it will make much of a difference. Reporting for Coast Alaska, in Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
And it's been over a decade since a set of 20,000-year-old fossilized human footprints was found in a dry lake bed in New Mexico. Those footprints called into question what we thought we knew about when people first showed up in North America. A recent paper published in the journal Nature attempts to set a new time frame of when the first humans might have appeared along the coast of Southeast Alaska, using cave remains and animal fossils from the region. But as KRBD's Jack Darrell reports, for the indigenous people of the Northwest Coast, it's just one piece of a much bigger puzzle.
The recent article published in Nature caught Nick Schmuck's attention. He's an archaeologist with the Alaska Department of Natural Resources. He says how and when people showed up in Alaska and the Americas is a surprisingly heated debate in the scientific community that may never be settled. Currently, the most commonly held belief is in coastal migration theory. Remember the Bering Land Bridge? That theory basically goes that after the last ice age, people crossed a stretch of land between Russia and Alaska in pursuit of food. The idea that people arrived either by land or waterways from Asia down along the coast of Alaska and into the rest of the Americas.
If these people coming into the Americas, doesn't matter how far back we go, they're just as capable as you and I. So of course they can figure out how to use boats. They're no strangers to rivers and things like that. So why not the coast?
But there are other theories about the hows and whens, especially the whens. The recent article published in Nature called New Age Constraints for Human Entry into the Americas on the North Pacific Coast attempts to tighten the parameters of the debate a little bit. The paper looks at gaps in dates of animal fossils and archaeological sites, including 18 caves and sites in Southeast Alaska. During the iciest part of the last ice age, a massive ice sheet advanced across the western part of the continent over Prince of Wales Island, the largest island in the southeast. Think of it like a gate that closed for over 1,000 years. When that gate froze shut, what's called the glacial maximum was about 18,000 years ago. So the commonly held belief is that people showed up after that, as the glaciers melted from the outside in, revealing land and food to eat. And Schmuck says it isn't just the fossil record that supports this post-glacial theory. It's also the spoken record of the descendants of these first people.
There are histories that sound like people coming to an early post-glacial Southeast Alaska. You know, they talk about coming to a land that's just a narrow strip of land between the ice and the sea. Like, holy cow, that's what Southeast Alaska would have been. You know, before the trees come in.
Kahani Rosita Wuerl is a descendant of these first people. She's a Tlingit anthropologist and president of the Sealaska Heritage Institute.
The important things to remember is that we know we have been here for at least 11, 12,000 years. We know that from the DNA science, you know. And to me, I always say it affirms our oral traditions that say we've been here since time immemorial.
If the dates are correct, the New Mexico footprints are much older than artifacts found in Southeast. That means the footprints were from someone who was here before the glaciers sealed the land shut. In turn, that means that either the humans that left those footprints didn't cross the Bering Land Bridge at all, that there's a southern route somehow, or people were here much earlier than Western scientists thought. Wuerl says, of course there were other routes into the Americas.
So there had to be another route.
Currently, the earliest sign of life in Southeast Alaska is Shukaka, a human skeleton and set of tools from about 12,000 years ago in a cave on Prince of Wales Island. It's possible archaeologists just haven't found older evidence yet because of the challenges of searching in a forest-covered region. For Southeast Alaska, a lot of the oldest evidence of humans is probably either at the top of a mountain or at the bottom of the ocean, which is where Kelly Monteleone comes in.
There's this huge, vast area that we haven't explored yet. And so there's so much we can find.
Monteleone is an underwater archaeologist with Sealaska Heritage Institute.
I see myself as having the resources to help answer the questions of the indigenous people of Southeast Alaska. So I have the skills as an underwater archaeologist to go out and look in areas to help them learn about their past.
As Wuerl, Schmuck, and Monteleone all point out, the indigenous peoples along the Northwest Coast are strikingly diverse. There are so many languages and cultures in such a condensed area, and the languages are so isolatedly different from each other that it seems like people would have had to have been here a lot longer than other parts of the Americas.
Time immemorial, from the beginning of time. Yes, 12,000 years ago, 16, 20,000 years ago. Those are all the beginning of time.
And while the rest of the world chases after New Mexico's footprints, Monteleone says that understanding the history of the people of the Northwest Coast is an archaeological field of study that's still in its infancy. Here on the Northwest Coast, in Ketchikan, I'm Jack Darrell.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 56 degrees and sunny. The low tonight is 38, and there may be some more rain on the way tonight. Tomorrow, it looks like the weather will be pretty clear with some isolated showers and a high of 50 degrees. Tomorrow night, it looks cloudy with some fog. And the rest of the week looks sunny with temperatures from the mid to high 50s. You're listening to KTOO.